Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim here with Walker and Ray. And we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas and New Year's celebration and ready to go for 2018, if you can believe it. Steve Jordahl in studio with us now.
Good morning.
From the AFR News team. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. I'd like to give a shout out to the Tupelo police. You know, we here in Tupelo are blessed to have such a great police department. And I was crossing the street and they're out there hanging signs to say, don't feed the polar bears.
Really?
Yeah, they're right on top of things.
All right. I thought you were going to say they let you go when you were 10 miles an hour over the speed limit or something like that.
No.
Just gave you a warning.
They're trying to, you know, keep people safe in town.
It's polar bears?
Yeah.
Polar bears.
It's that cold.
Yeah, it is that cold. What's the coldest place in the continental United States right now?
Probably International Falls, I would think. It usually is.
Minnesota?
Falls, Minnesota, usually.
You know,
let me look.
Niagara Falls is freezing. Did you see that,
Ray?
I
saw that, yeah.
Ray, did you see that?
Niagara Falls, you mean as the water is coming over, it's freezing?
Yeah, it's.
That's crazy.
I look a picture right there, Walker. Mm-hmm. See if you can Google that one. Niagara Falls freezing. But I think it's about to get there if it isn't there already. Now, I don't know what happens to the water. What happens to the water? Well, I guess it freezes everywhere, backstream, upstream, if you will. See, I'm talking about something I know nothing about, but I'm trying to make...
Yeah, parts of Niagara Falls freezing. Let's see.
Well, it's going to ultimately all freeze, wouldn't it, if it stays the temperatures that it's staying?
That's an awful lot of water moving an awful fast, I would think, but...
Yeah, well, you know, you have deregulation now by President Trump. It's going to help. That's going to help the water flow.
I'm sure.
Maybe help it freeze up a little bit. Hey, what about this CNN bong
Boy.
Story?
Oh, brother.
Okay, get
Boy,
ready, brother. Folks, because we're not making this up, okay?
Yeah.
Steve, I know I switched stories.
That's okay. Okay. I'm trying to figure out how to get a new – I'm trying to look up International Falls, Minnesota on my weather app, but for some reason it's not letting me add a new –
You go ahead and talk about
CNN. I'm going to talk
CNN
about CNN.
I'll look up International Falls.
International Falls, Minnesota. So over the New Year, you know, CNN was kind of in trouble last year. They weren't in trouble, but they have for years had Kathy Griffin as a co-host along with Anderson Cooper. And, of course, last year the Kathy Griffin Trump severed head thing came up and they had to let her go. Mm-hmm. So this year they had a couple anchors in New York City for the ball drop there. But they had others spread out around the country. And one was a correspondent named Randy Kay, who was reporting from Denver. And they first met Randy on a bus. It was a pot bus. Of course, marijuana being legal in Denver, in Colorado. And let's just say she was in the mood. This is part of the report.
It's going great. I'm definitely earning the nickname Kush K, that's for sure. Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Everybody knows what Kush is. So, listen, I came prepared, you know, this year. I thought maybe I would bring a gas mask with me so I wouldn't, you know, get that contact high. But look at what's on the other end of the gas mask. Yes, a bong. And, of course, they couldn't stand to see a bong that didn't have any cannabis in it. So you actually put it in the bong. You filled it up.
Yeah.
And you don't want it.
You packed it.
Okay. So you're gonna now what? Now you're gonna celebrate a little New Year's early or what? This is New Year's Eve, Denver style.
This is legal
everybody.
In Colorado. I know.
Oh boy.
I'm moving to Colorado.
It is legal. It is very legal.
This is kicking in.
This is for Andy. Andy, this is for you.
Oh, thank you, Randy. That is a gorgeous joint.
That is a gorgeous joint.
This is going on CNN on New Year's Eve.
CNN on New Year's Eve.
I'm a witness. My wife and I were watching Fox News New Year's Eve coverage, and I thought, I'll flip over to CNN. I mean, how can they cover New Year's Eve from a biased standpoint? So I thought, you know, it's New Year's Eve. We can, you know, enjoy what
right.
I typically don't watch.
Right.
So CNN. I flip over to CNN, And the reporters in Colorado in some kind of joint bar holding up marijuana. So I said, all right, we're going to go back to Fox News.
Wow. not the proudest moment for CNN there, Ray.
Well, one of many probably. I'm sorry, Ray. I didn't mean to.
Well, look, after Kathy Griffin, where do you go after her? I don't know if this is up or down from Kathy Griffin, but it's pretty much what we expect from CNN, right?
Yeah. Yeah, probably so. I don't know. I don't really watch those New Year's shows anymore. You know where they drop the ball at Times Square. If you've seen 30 of them, you've seen every one of them. So it's basically the same.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Every time they just show a bunch of people in New York. You know,
half lit.
You know, yeah. But thank the Lord they didn't have any terrorist attack there.
Yeah.
Did you see where in Houston they busted a guy for having weapons atop a hotel there in downtown Houston?
Yeah. I mean, that sure sounds like a copycat of the guy out in Las Vegas, that if they hadn't gotten to him, what kind of carnage would he have done? Mm-hmm. So kudos to the police and the whoever else was in on the FBI and whoever else was in on this, they stopped another potential terrorist disaster.
You know, I'm not one to be fearful of you know, things. We do live in a world of of terrorist attacks. We know that, but I just wouldn't go down to Times Square on New Year's Eve for that. You got what, a million people down there.
I will say this, though.
If something happened, it would be, you couldn't escape.
It's probably more dangerous to go down there just without security, at any night of the week, because they had this thing locked down. Right. You had to go through two checkpoints to get in there.
Did you?
Yeah, the most danger, I would say, there would be before you get in security, just like a lot of these other events. The terrorists are likely to attack right at the entrance.
They load dump trucks up with sand, just big heavy things, so that nobody can drive through the blockade. And
I don't know, but you're talking about a lot of people wearing coats and things that could disguise. I'm just thankful that nothing happened, because if it did happen there, it would be, can you imagine the scene with all those people bunched in one area like that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Next up, Steve.
Well, we still have heat. The only place that heat is in this whole northern hemisphere is in North Korea, and it's political heat. President Trump is saying that we need to be more aggressive in curtailing their nuclear ambitions, talking about perhaps finding or using technology that would shoot down a missile as it's launched. Kind of the Patriot thing. Others saying that is dubious technology to begin with. It's we have the technology, but we're at about 70% success rate of it. So, but surprising overtures from North Korea's Kim Jong-un, who, in February, we're going to have, that's next month, the Winter Olympics are going to be in Pyongyang, which is in South Korea. It's on the east side of South Korea, so it's on the opposite side from Seoul of the country. But really, as they do with many Olympics, the venues are going to be kind of all over the place, and there's been some concern that that's going to be a time for Kim Jong-un to make a show, some kind of spectacle. But he's seeming to say, to give overtures towards South Korea. He's not giving these same overtures to the U.S., but towards South Korea, is saying, hey, we want to send a delegation, maybe a team, and we want to be brothers in peace. And he appeared on TV over the New Year's break, weekend in a suit and tie, not the militaristic kind of Mao Zedong. You see him usually in that dark blue closed collar military uniform. But he was in a suit and tie and looking all civil and everything. So a lot of stuff happening over there. I don't know what's going to come of it, but movement, shall we say.
When is the Winter Olympics?
I think it's in February, if I'm not mistaken.
When are the Olympics? I guess you
said. Or when is the Olympics?
whichever way.
It's
but it's in South Korea.
It is in South Korea this year at Pyongyang.
So
and so,
what's the name of the North Korean capital?
The North Korean capital is it's not, what is it? Oh, that is Pyongyang.
Yeah, Pyongyang is North
the,
Korea.
The Olympics are in
Seoul.
No, I'll look it up.
It looks like Pyeongchang, actually.
Oh, is it so Pyeongchang?
They're very similar.
Yeah.
Pronounced very similar.
So the other thing is
February the 9th.
Okay.
That's just coming up. That's in a month.
Yeah.
The other thing that's kind of interesting is we're finding that both the Chinese and the Japanese have been secretly supplying fuel, oil, to North Korea.
The Japanese?
The Japanese?
Did Russian. I say Japanese?
Yeah, Russians.
Both the Russians and the Chinese have been secretly giving fuel, oil, to the North Koreans, breaking UN sanctions, which has the Trump administration a little bit upset at them for that. I
wonder why they would do that.
Well,
you're not privy to that information, but what would you say just as...
Well, there is money there. I mean, if you're buying oil, that's the obvious,
right?
Is money.
Yeah, but why would China and Russia? Is it did they admit to that? Did China and
no? We've
Russia,
got satellites.
We caught them.
We caught them.
Yeah.
And let me just be not cynical for a little bit. North Korea is a very, very poor country with people starving, and we've seen recently the lengths to which North Korean citizens will go to try to escape. Running across the DMZ, getting shot at, and the poor state of health. I think that there could be a little bit of a wanting to give the North Koreans a little bit of oil would help with their heating and that kind of stuff. I know we laugh at it, and it's not the only reason. But well, I'm just
think,
saying.
You think Kim Jong Un lets the people get that?
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah,
but I don't know. You're asking me to why they would be doing that, and there's money to be had, but it's a strange politic over there. You just don't know. I don't know why they would.
This guy Kim Jong Un is an interesting fellow because on one hand he said over the weekend he said I've got the button on my desk, right? I have the nuclear button on my desk. Now, whether they really have the capability or not, I mean, the quote experts think it's still maybe a year or so away, but he says he's got the button on his desk to release nuclear warfare on the U.S. So that's one thing. And the other thing is he dresses up in this suit and tie. It's supposed to be a softer look, and he's making nice overtures to South Korea about the Winter Olympics. He's a pretty clever guy himself to be a maniacal despot. He's sort of playing both sides at the same time to keep everybody off balance so nobody knows what he's going
to
do next.
Well, this goes back to the discussion we had with Ed Vitagliano, 3 months ago, trying to read the mind of not only North Korea's leader, but the leaders in China and Russia as to why they don't do more to stop North Korea. Then not only are they not doing more, but they're selling oil to North Korea. So it seems to be the common enemy of all those is the United States, to some extent. So other than that, I can't make sense of it.
I would just, again, we've talked about this before. I just, if you want to look at what's going on with North Korea from a what's in your best interest mode, then China, who's said to have control over North Korea, that's what people have argued in the past. China, I don't know what it benefits China to have the leader of North Korea saber-rattling and threatening to nuke America when America's China's greatest trading partner. Mm-hmm. And so, as I've said before, the U.S. and China are joined at the hip economically. So, and the whole region there, what would it benefit China if North Korea started launching weapons into Japan or Guam or Alaska or Los Angeles? So it seemed to me it would be in the best interest of the Chinese government to clamp down on North Korea. But
the New Year, I got a chance to see the new movie about Winston Churchill.
Is that out?
The Darkest Hour. Well, I had to go to Oxford, which is about 45 minutes about an hour west of us here. So I had to travel a bit, but I went. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because in that movie, Churchill was taken to task early in his tenure as prime minister for not wanting to have negotiations and a dialogue with Hitler. And, of course, Churchill was the, we are going to fight them in the beaches, we're going to fight them in the streets, and on to victory, nothing but victory. The Neville Chamberlains at all in his government were saying, no, you need to talk to this man. He can be reasonable, they said. And, of course, history proved that he couldn't. And history has an odd way of repeating itself. And so I think the people that say that maybe Kim Jong-un can be a decent man, or he will stop with his saber rattling once he gets what he wants, which is respect as a nuclear nation, I think they're deluding mm-hmm. themselves. You think, Ray?
Well, I think, you know, you were talking earlier about China. What's their deal in this? They want stability. The last thing China wants is a war on the Korean Peninsula. In part, Tim, for the reason you said, they're joined with us economically at the hip, right? It's not, I think, that they are big fans of Kim Jong-un. He's unstable. He's a wild man. I don't think they control him personally any more than we do. Mm-hmm. I suspect that the Chinese would be happy with any solution that got rid of Kim Jong-un and his family and put some kind of other puppet regime in there that they could influence to keep. They want peace and stability. I don't think they want war on the Korean Peninsula any more than we do.
Mm-hmm. The other thing to talk about with this whole situation, South Korea desperately would like to reunite the country. And they will tend to bend over backwards and take any risk of whatever, their risk factor, because they think if they can reunite the country, then that would be the goal that would get a stability to the region. And of course, they still have families that are split between this rift on the 30, is it the 39th parallel? So you got to, they're holding out hope for reunification. The United States is saying this is a guy that has a nuclear gun pointed at our head. And Russia and China are just kind of, I think they might be playing both ends against the middle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
Baltimore is complaining. Well, they're not complaining. For the third year in a row, they have had more than 300 murders. It's a new record for murders per resident in 2017. And some of the residents there say that the reason that the murder rate is up is because of relaxed police patrols in the neighborhood following the Freddie Gray incident. Freddie Gray, you might remember, was the gentleman that was arrested and put into the back of a police van, and he died in transport on the way mm-hmm. To the jail. And the officers there were acquitted. The court said that they weren't responsible for his death. It resulted in riots, you remember, in 2017. I think it was 2017? In maybe 2016.
2016.
In Baltimore, and that's where the mayor said, well, police, back down, give these angry people a place to vent. And, of course, that meant that they were tearing up their own neighborhoods, frankly. Mm-hmm. They're tearing up parts of Baltimore. But now police are kind of relaxing their coverage, their protection of the citizens
of
Baltimore.
Well, we knew this was going to happen because the police were blamed for being overly aggressive and or, you know, carrying out acts of violence, against the black community there. And so the police just said, yeah, we can't win. I'm just thinking, this is basically right. What happened. Police just said, we can't win. Either we patrol and we try to keep law and order and keep the bad guys away. But when we do, if we happen to confront a young black male and something goes wrong, then we're going to be blamed for his death and they're going to riot against us. So we can't win. So you know what? We're just not going to be as eager to go out there and patrol these areas and or respond to 911 calls as fast as they want us to because of what I've just described here. Right. So when you do that and the bad guys know it, then they know they basically have free reign in these communities, right. And drug gangs take over, murders increase, and that's what's happened in Baltimore. Basically, the people in Baltimore said, we don't want the police around anymore, and the police said, okay, fine, have it your way, and this is what happens.
And you know, you can't blame the police at all, mm-hmm. because if they know that there's going to be a problem and the city government is not going to have their back, why are they going to go into those bad regions? Why are they going to even put themselves at risk knowing nobody's got their back?
And those who were charged in the I'm trying to think how many of them were really charged.
There were four or five that were charged. Are you talking about Freddie Gray?
Well, yeah, they were all African-American, weren't they?
Not all, but some of them were.
They were tried.
The ones who were blamed for the murder, I mean, the guy in the back of the
police van
with him, he was African-American, so was the driver, I believe. So,
yeah.
But anyway, it's just...
Well, there's a difference. There's reactive policing and there's proactive policing.
Mm-hmm.
Proactive policing means you find the criminals before they commit the crime, essentially, or while they're in the act. Reactive policing, which is now what these cities are shifting to, which is a more hands-off approach, is you just simply show up after someone's been murdered and you file a police report rather than trying to stop the murder in its tracks.
Create an atmosphere or an environment... Ray, like you to weigh in on this, but so you create, especially in big cities, you're talking about proactive policing, and I'm no expert on this whatsoever, but it just common sense tells you that if police are asking questions of people, if they feel the freedom to walk the neighborhood and find out who's doing what to look out for, they got a sense of who's, well, that's a preventative, as you say, in a proactive type of policing where you're you have a presence, mm-hmm. and the bad guys know you're there, and they're you know. But if you have a reactive, then you're only coming after the fact, and then the bad guys know that's the situation, and they're going to have more freedom to do bad things, which result in more people dying, as we see in Baltimore. Go ahead, Ray. You want to?
Well, the end of all that is the bad guys get away with murder over and over again.
Yes.
Because you think of the west side of Chicago, which near where I live for many years, south side of Chicago, you think of Baltimore. There are areas of our major cities that are, frankly, very, very dangerous to go into. And if the police are staying away because they know they can't win if they go in there, you've basically given over the inner cities to the bad guys, which is why the murder rate in so many of our cities is soaring out of control.
Mm. Yeah.
To which I'd only add that, we hear about Chicago and how bad the violence is there, and it is. But in terms of percentage per capita, Baltimore's worse.
Really?
For parts of 2017, Baltimore had worse murder rate than Chicago did. In raw numbers, of course, Chicago is so much larger that it's the one that gets all the attention. But per capita?
Most people predicted this would happen in Baltimore because of what happened with those police officers. All right, we thank you for listening to our show today, today's issues on American Family Radio. I thank Walker and Ray and Steve and Fred, and thank Brent for running the control board for us there. We hope you have a great afternoon here on American, and keep listening to American Family Radio. Take care, everybody.